a joy to be back with you this evening. I forgot how short the pulpit was. My new pulpit's like this tall. It's for Brother Ferguson. It's what it was built for.
Amen.
Of course, this church has a very special place in my heart. That man there, very special man to me, as he is to this church. I was going to give him a hug before he got down from the pulpit, but he walked away before I could. So I got one out of him when I left. Yeah. It 10 years of 100-hour work weeks, and I got a hug finally from Pastor Caleb. It's possible, but you got to put the time in to earn that one. But I, of course, came to the church here as intern. 2012 was the first intern. I don't know what they said about breaking it for a bell, so they replaced me with three guys the next summer. After I was here, we only had me for that time. We got the same work done with three guys the next summer, but of course was the first return to the church from the intern ministry. Pastor Colin asked me the other week to preach this evening for the intern night, and Lord laid on my heart something that I think will be help to you as a church in regards to the intern ministry. I'm going to present part of the intern ministry that I'll a lot of you are unaware of, and it's going to deal with how I would always deal with the interns about what an internship was, and kind of get open the door, let you peek in on that. I know the hour's late. Thankfully, it's Friday night, so most of us don't have something to do tomorrow. But if you can bear with me, we'll share these thoughts with you. Got to offer an apology first. If you're watching the intern video, there's an intern that was conspicuously absent from the pictures. That was my brother. That summer was when Pastor Caleb was trying to figure out how to be an interim pastor, and the interns were completely under my supervision that summer. And the way that I handle pictures is when the project is done, I say, man, we should have taken some pictures of that. And so when Weston's internship was done, I said, man, we should have taken some pictures of that. So he didn't make it into the pictures there, joy to work in the ministry here, and especially with the intern ministry that was, I had a lot to do with that, handled most of the interviews, even meeting James over here last night. So we met on the phone, interviewed you over the phone, emailed back and forth, but now get to meet you in person. Left when I found out you were coming, and but getting to work with the interns over the years very, very directly, I appreciated all the testimonies of how much they enjoyed fellowship with Pastor Caleb, because they were working with me, and then they got to go in the evening and play with Pastor Caleb a lot of the nights. So I didn't make in a lot of the testimonies, it's a fun ministry to be a part of. When it comes to the intern ministry, there are three perspectives, three different experiences of the intern ministry. There's the experience of the intern. Intern gets worked to death, gets to play a lot, gets to learn a lot of things they didn't know, gets to have experiences that they'd never experienced before. It's a memorable time in a very exciting way. The intern experience also happens from the church. You get to be with them at work parties, serve with them in ministries on Sunday and around during the week, and be part of EBS and have them in your home and feed them and take care of them the weeks that they're here and get to know them in a very friendly sort of way. Then there's the intern experience from myself and Pastor Caleb, with them every day, dealing with them from sunup till sundown many times, working with the interns and making an investment in their lives. You heard Zachary mention that word in his testimony, investment. And that's what the internship is. It is an investment. Investment, yes, from the church. And you make a big investment in their lives. And I want to encourage you tonight to go even further as this ministry continues investing. But all the interns would tell you that the investment in their life by a pastoral staff here who are with them every day and molding them and shaping them throughout the week outside of service times has a lasting impact. A lot of who I am today is from the investment of that man right there. Hundreds of hours a week, often, that we would be together in conversation, working together, hitting each other with sledgehammers, and all kind of things that happened no one else knew about. 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning, things were happening while everybody else was not here, and there was discipleship that was going on in ministry, and it's an investment. Turn with me in your Bibles to the book of 2 Timothy chapter 4. we're going to read one verse, and we're going to come to this verse in towards the end of the message this evening. We're going to come back to it. We're going to talk about this idea of internships. In 2012, I was the first intern, helped form that position that became affectionately known as the summer slave. I served for 14 weeks, worked on the bus route on Saturday and Sunday, helped in teen Sunday school class, taught the junior church class every week. I preached two of the Sunday evening services during those 14 weeks. I taught with the teens on Thursday night and then did whatever else Pastor Caleb wanted for the rest of the waking hours. And I loved every minute of it. I got to experience that summer. For that summer, I got to experience, and in the years to follow, a biblical principle called life-on-life discipleship. Life-on-life discipleship. If you have your place in 2 Timothy, I invite you to stand with me for the reading of God's Word. 2 Timothy chapter 4, we're going to read just verse number 11. Here, Paul writing says, "Only Luke is with me. Take Mark and bring him with thee, for he is profitable to me for the ministry." Let's pray together. Lord God, we love you, and we are so thankful for the time we have to be in your house this evening. We thank you for the years of faithfulness, Lord, that this church has the chance to experience. Lord, of your faithfulness to them, and our attempt to live faithfully for you, and the great things that you have done that we are rejoicing in yesterday through the missions program, today through the 20 young people whose lives have been impacted, changed, altered, and given a push forward and a head start in their service for you through the doors of this building and through this ministry. Bless us this evening, Lord, as we look at this idea of making an eternal investment. We ask this in Christ's name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. This text is our theme verse for our intern ministry. Whenever I would present the intern ministry to prospective interns, I would talk about this verse, often get up in the college chapel and bring out this verse. And so when Pastor Caleb asked me to close out the evening on the intern ministry, I said, well, I don't think we've ever done it with the church family, talk about the intern theme verse. And that is this verse in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 11. There's that principle I mentioned called life-on-life discipleship. That is where one person makes an investment into a life of another powerfully in spiritual matters that have spiritual results. Just thinking through the Bible, you can see this. Moses and Joshua is one of the first that come to mind. This young man named Joshua shows up on the scene in the battle with Amalek. When Moses went up on the mountain to hold his arms up in the air, the rod of God up in the air to intercede, he puts Joshua in charge of the military. I'm sure Joshua was around and involved in things before this time, but here he is on the scene. Hey, you're in charge of this. And there's some interns that have had that thrust on them when they showed up. Hey, you're going to be doing this, and it's up to you, and this has got to get done. Zachary again mentioned his testimony, responsibility. It's on you. Joshua is given responsibility. Lead the army. You're going to go fight? I'm going up the mountain to watch. And you're going to get things done down here. That's where Joshua shows up. Then you find Joshua when Moses is going to the mountain to receive the commandments from God and the law from God and the description of the tabernacle. Joshua goes with him. Of course, he can't go on the mountain, but he goes to the foot of the mountain to wait for him. He just wanted to be as close to the man of God as he could be. That's a big part of the intern ministry is these young people. Workday is over, and the man of God says, "You want to come to my house?" And a wise intern says, "Absolutely." When my internship was going on, Pastor Caleb still lived up in Loganville, and about the third week in, Sunday night, he'd start asking, "Hey, you want to come?" Second week, maybe, he'd start coming, "You want to come to my house?" Drove a half hour up to his house, drove back at 1:30 in the morning so we could start work the next day. And after about the second week of that, he says, "Well, don't go home. I've got an extra bed. You can stay here tonight. And stay, but be as close to the man as God as you can be." That was what Joshua did. And while Moses was 40 days, 40 nights fasting on the mountain, Joshua was 40 days, 40 nights by himself at the bottom of the mountain, just waiting to hear from God and hear from God's man. And being away from what was going on at camp, because what was going on at camp wasn't pleasing the Lord. And Joshua missed out on that. Why? Because he wanted to be with God's man. That's where Joshua was. Moses comes down from the mountain. He meets Joshua. They head toward the camp. They hear the noise of war, but it's actually people singing. That whole story. There's Joshua. And we see Joshua after that, see God, Moses set up a tabernacle outside the camp. Said, you want to meet with God, you come here. And when Moses and the elders and Joshua would go to the tabernacle outside the camp, the Bible says that the men of Israel would stand at the doors of their tent and they'd watch. They'd let somebody else go to God. Why do I need to go to God? He's going to God for me. But not Joshua. Joshua went with Moses to the tabernacle and he started to learn from Moses what it meant to walk with God. Because when Moses left that tabernacle, Joshua says he stayed a little longer. He stayed a little longer because he was learning from Moses' investment how he could have his own walk with the Lord. This prepared him for the time that he was chosen to be one of the spies that would go into the land. And he was one of the two that came back with a good report. Where did that good report come from? From spending a lot of time with God's man. Life on life discipleship. Elijah and Elisha is another one that comes to mind. Elijah, of course, God's prophet, well known for the great things that he did for God. But there came that greatest day that we remember where he was on Mount Carmel, called down fire from heaven and saw those miracles, slew the prophets of Baal, then ran off into the wilderness to hide from Jezebel, saying, there's no hope, there's no point, I'm the last one left. God says, no, you're not the last one left. And in fact, you're not even done with what I have for you to do. I want you to leave here. I want you to go find a young man named Elisha. Now, we don't see Elijah doing great things in a miraculous sense after that point. We see him spending time with a young man that went on and did twice as much for God as Elijah was able to do. But why? Because a man invested into another man. Life on life discipleship. Samuel did this with his boys. It didn't work out so well. He did it again with Saul. Didn't work out so well. But he didn't give up. Well, this is pointless. Young people aren't living for God anymore. He said, you know what? I'm going to find somebody else. And he found David. Somebody to invest in. Life on life discipleship. When you get to David, he took the principle even further. He had all those men that gathered around him. Nobody else wanted to be with. And David gathered around him. He took these outcasts and these vain men and these men that just had no value to society. And of them came the mighty men. Why? Because there was a man said, I'll invest. I'll invest in these young men that nobody else wants to put up with, but I will. That was David. Think of Jeremiah and Baruch. Baruch came in and said, well, I'm a scribe. That's all I need is a scribe. And he starts to be a scribe. And Baruch goes from being a scribe to preaching in the temple. He goes from preaching in the temple to preaching in front of the princes. He goes from preaching in front of the princes to preaching in front of the king because a man named Jeremiah invested in a scribe named Baruch. What about Jesus? Jesus wanted to impact the world with the gospel. How did he do it? He found 12 men to invest in, and 11 of them went out to reach the whole world with the message of the gospel because Jesus spent 3.5 years life on life. You're with me when I get up. You're with me when I go to bed. You're going to eat with me. When I'm working, you're working. When I'm praying, you're sleeping. When I... The disciples were on an internship with Jesus Christ. You know what happened? Those disciples went further than Christ did geographically because he invested in their lives. Barnabas and Saul. What kind of a New Testament would we have today without Barnabas? Yes, we will still have the Bible because it's the Word of God. But Barnabas had a great impact on the Word of God. He didn't write any of the books. But what did he do? There was a guy that got saved. And no one in the church wanted anything to do with him. Saul was his name. His name was later changed to Paul. But he couldn't have fellowship with the church of Jerusalem. At least not until this guy Barnabas said, you know what, I know he's a little bit of a wild card. I know he might get us all killed. I know he's impulsive and reckless, but I'll invest in him. He can come with me and I'll work with him. And through that investment, Saul became Paul and went further for God than Barnabas did. Why? Because he made an internal investment into this man's life. Paul couldn't have done that without somebody to invest in him. Paul learned from that. He learned and he went with Timothy, with Silas, with Titus, with Philemon, these men that Paul saw the need to invest in. The one I'd like to present to you this evening is Mark. Mark was a young man that was in need of some investment. Yeah. And we'll talk about them throughout the message here this evening, but as we go into that, I want to remind us how important it is to invest in the next generation. Amen. No matter who you are or what you do, there's going to come a day when you can't do it anymore. From the pastor to someone who all they can do is come to sit in a pew because their health doesn't let them do that anymore. One day you won't be able to do that, and who's going to take your place?
Yeah, yeah.
God has people in a place for a time, and they steward that, and they grow that until the day that God puts somebody else in that position, calls us home to heaven, maybe it is. But who's going to do that if we're not investing in the next generation? It's exciting to me over the last 5 or so years that I was here, how God burdened my heart and Pastor Caleb's about investing in particular people for certain things, and how when God moved me somewhere else, there wasn't even a bump in the ministry because people were ready to step in and take the place that I had left behind. Why? Because of investment. It didn't happen on accident.
Right.
The internship ministry is a ministry of investing in the next generation. And it is an eternal investment. Over the past 12 years, Hunt Valley Baptist Church has had the privilege of investing in over 20 interns. These investments that the church made into those lives, they were eternal investments. And I want to talk about investing this evening. Number one in the outline this evening is the intern. When you have the internship ministry, of course you have the intern. Let's consider the intern of Mark. Mark's the theme of our message this evening. He was an intern. We're introduced to him in Acts chapter 12, where his mom's house is being used for a place to have a prayer meeting for a preacher that was in prison. Peter was in prison. Mark's mom's house was where they were meeting to pray. That's where we find out about Mark. We know he came from a mom that loved God and then invested in her son's life. And so he had some investment there. We find him at the end of that same chapter, Acts chapter 12, where he's going with Paul and Barnabas on their missionary travels as they leave from Antioch. He travels with them. He leaves with them, probably with mom's encouragement. Go along. Hey, he'll be a help to you. He doesn't really know that much. He's not super talented. He's not outgoing. But if you need somebody to carry a bag or something like that, hey, why don't you take Mark with you?
Yeah.
Just, we don't know for sure, but possibility there. But partway into this journey, Mark goes back home. Mark leaves them, and he travels back home. We're not told why. We'll see in a moment. It probably wasn't for a great reason. Maybe he got tired of traveling. Maybe the ministry wasn't as exciting as he thought it was going to be. Maybe they worked too hard, and he wanted something that was a little bit easier. Maybe he just got homesick. Wanted to go back to where mom was. We don't know, but for some reason, this young man decided to go home. We don't see Mark again until Acts chapter 15, where Paul and Barnabas are getting ready to take another trip. They're traveling back to those churches at Antioch, the ones that Mark had been with them when they went to start these churches. And Barnabas makes a suggestion, say, hey, Mark came with us last time. I bet he'd like to see these ministries and see how they're doing, see how they're growing. And Paul says, no way. No way. I don't want him. He's too much trouble. He wimped out on us last time. It says he wouldn't go with us to the work. He wasn't a hard worker. He wasn't diligent. I don't want to bring him along. He's going to be problems. That disagreement got so strong that Paul and Barnabas separated.
Right.
Went separate ways. Barnabas took Mark, and he went back to those first couple churches that Mark had been a part of starting. And Paul and Silas went to some of the other churches that had been started a little bit later. Mark is mentioned twice in the Bible, just in a listing of names. But he's brought up here in our text verse in 2 Timothy chapter 4, and we're going to talk about that in a little bit. We use that term intern to describe someone that needs an investment. Someone that needs an investment. This can be someone that was young. Young people need investing in. They need investing in for several reasons, because their knowledge is limited. That's why we put kids in school, because they don't know very much. The knowledge is limited. You can learn things from two ways. You can learn through instruction or you can learn through experience. Instruction is easier, faster, and doesn't hurt as bad. So young people, If you can learn from instruction, that's a good way to do it. And young people need to invest in. You know, they invest it in not just because their knowledge is limited, their skills are limited. There's things they don't know how to do. Go around to all these interns and say, what'd you learn how to do at Hunt Valley? And you'll hear some interesting things about tools they learned how to use or things that they learned how to do at Hunt Valley. Skills are limited. Their experience is limited. Things you've never done before. And you get to do those in an internship. You know, young people need invested in. Somebody who's new to the faith. A young Christian needs invested in. And his church is using the discipleship ministry to invest in people that are new to the faith and need to grow in those regards. Someone who needs invested in could be someone who's not saved, but needs to be taught the truth of the gospel. And in truth, we're all students that need investing in. That investment changes over time, but new Christians, pastors, church members, church staff, Bible college graduates, doesn't matter. We still need investing in. I was saved 27 years ago. This July, I will have been preaching for 20 years. I still need investing in. I listen to sermons every week. I've read 9 books so far this year. Why? Because I need people pouring into me because I still need an investment. Don't ever stop letting people invest in your life.
Yeah.
You know, when it comes to those interns, every intern is going to have some needs. Their knowledge will be incomplete. Their practice is going to be imperfect. They're going to do things that are wrong. They're going to do things the wrong way. They won't be right about everything. Their methods are going to be kind of rough. We used to have a joke about having an intern broke it fund. Something would happen here at the church. We said, well, that's going to be put on the intern broke it fund. We had some interns 1 year that asked me, after we had brought that up a couple times, do you really have an intern broke it fund? I said, no, we'd never know how much money to put in it. It all depends on the intern. So that's the intern, someone who needs an investment. Let's talk secondly this evening about the investment. Again, going back to the example of Mark. Mark was a pretty rough intern, just trying to get a glimpse of it from the Word of God. You know, Paul, the guy that shook poisonous snakes off into the fire, the guy that was beaten with rods, the guy that was shipwrecked, spent overnight in the deep, got up and made fires and cooked meals for people, the guy who got stoned and drug out of the city and got up and went back to the city to preach again, that Paul said, I don't want to deal with Mark. Give me a poisonous snake.
Yeah, right.
I don't want an intern.
Right.
But that wasn't Barnabas' perspective. Barnabas, see, he'd already invested in a problem child named Saul.
Yeah.
And he knew what was possible with someone who was rough around the edges if you put some investment into their life.
Amen.
Barnabas said, I'll invest in him. And he made an investment in Mark. What was that investment? Think about that with Barnabas. He gave up traveling with Paul. Choose, intern or Paul? I'll go be with the intern. I'll go be with Mark. He gave up his position as the assistant. He became the head guy. I know from experience, going from the assistant to the head guy, things change. My gray hair has doubled in the last year. Still have ways to go, but it's going. There's more to it when you're the one in charge.
Right.
He took up financial responsibility. Hey, on Paul's mission trip, Paul has to make sure we have to eat. Paul has to make sure we have somewhere to stay. This is our mission trip. Now it's on Barnabas. The intern's not going to figure it out. It's up to Barnabas to do it. And then he had to spend all that time on the road, all that time in the ships, all that time with Mark. What an investment that Barnabas made. We don't know what happened on all those evenings and during all those days, but we know that an investment was made in the life of Mark by a man named Barnabas. You see, interns need investment. That's what makes them an intern. There's going to be a time investment. Typically, we have a 10-week internship program. Some have gone longer, some have gone shorter. I think I have a record of 14 weeks of an internship. I just needed more time.
I took that long.
That's it. I needed more time. Then I had to come back and put another 9 years in to get it sorted out. So there's time. It's going to take time for you to invest in someone else. So I worked with the interns. I started my day with them. I ended my day with them. Even before I got to be with them, I wake up in the morning and say, what am I going to do with the interns today? And I'd have that burden for a couple hours before I actually got to see them. And then I work with them throughout the day and had the burden of being with the intern and how am I going to invest and what do they need to learn and how could they be better or how can we encourage them or what can we talk about today that's going to challenge them spiritually. And I'd send them home and I'd go home with my family and in my mind is the interns and what they need and what we did today and what needs to be done tomorrow. There's a time investment, a lot of time invested.
Yeah. Yeah.
This church makes a time investment into the life of young people and interns. Investing in people takes time. You can't invest in people if you show up late and you leave early. Investment takes place through time. There's going to be a financial investment. Our church has spent a lot of money on interns over the years, paying for them to be here, giving a love offering, paying for the things that they broke. There's a financial investment. Families spend money investing, buying food, preparing meals for the interns. I'll tell you, the investment is worth the cost.
That's good.
To make the investment is worth the cost. There's going to be a time investment, there's going to be a financial investment, and there's going to be an emotional investment.
Amen.
Life is time. When you give somebody your time, you're giving them your life.
Yeah.
And a piece of so many people in here's life was put into me. Chunks of my life was put into some of the young men, young ladies, adults around this room. A portion of his life is invested all around these pews. And when you invest your life into something, there's an emotional investment there. That's why it hurts so bad.
Amen.
When things don't go well. It even hurts when things are going well and you have to say goodbye. A lot of tears shed here last February when God said it's time for this investment to go somewhere else. Why? Because there's life. There's emotional investment. There's an investment made. You have the intern, someone who needs an investment. You have an investment that has to be made. Time, money, emotion that's given. And then we have the interest. You know, whenever you make an investment, you're interested in the interest. How's it doing? Several years ago when I was saving money for a house at some point, that down payment, I had an investment account. And I check it every day. What kind of interest did I make today? What are those investments doing? I want to see the progress. Sometimes it showed up red. Sometimes it showed up green. But you want to see how the investment was doing. You want to see the interest. What has been produced as a result of my investment. When we invest in people, we want to see the interest. What were they able to do with my investment?
Yeah.
Or better yet, what was God able to do with that investment? As you've seen in the testimonies this evening and talk to some of these young people that are here, you get to see the interest on your investment.
Amen.
What's happening in their lives? What is God doing through them? What about Mark? We're talking about Mark this evening. That text verse we just looked at, Mark coming here in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 11. Go back there with me. This is Paul writing. Paul who said, give me a poisonous snake before you give me Mark again.
Yeah.
He says here in verse number 11, only Luke is with me. Take Mark and bring him with thee, for he is profitable to me for the ministry. Profitable to me, to the ministry. That guy that he said, I don't want anything to do with.
Yeah.
He's too much of a problem. He's slowing us down. He's not worth the effort. Paul said, that young man's profitable to me for ministry.
Amen.
How did Mark get there? Barnabas.
Amen.
Barnabas said, he's rough. He needs work. He's going to break stuff. He's going to lose stuff. He's going to forget things. He's going to make me look bad. He's going to eat too much. But he's worth the investment.
Amen.
We have here Paul saying, Mark is profitable for me for ministry. Last time we saw Paul and Mark together was when he said, I don't want him. He's not worth it. He won't work. Now he says he's profitable to me. You go to Jesus' definition of profitable. If you do what you're supposed to do, you're unprofitable. To be profitable, you got to do more than you're expected
right,
to do.
Right.
And Paul says, Mark's profitable.
Yeah.
He doesn't just do the work, he does more than I expect him to do.
Amen.
And he got there through an investment, an eternal investment.
Mm.
Mark went from being a pain to being profitable.
Amen.
Got a lot of young people come through these doors. They come in a little bit of a pain, but they leave profitable.
Amen.
Because of an eternal investment. Not just profitable for the ministry of Paul, but profitable for the whole world.
Yeah.
Think about Mark. Mark ring a bell at all?
Mm-hmm.
Matthew, Mark. The gospel of Mark that revealed Christ is what? A servant. Someone who knew how to work. You heard the testimonies of the interns. They said, I never had a view of work like that until I was involved in my internship. Mark did an internship, and he had a whole different perspective on work that was involved in the ministry. So much so, he wrote a gospel about Jesus' work.
Right.
And he served as a servant.
Amen.
Why? Because of an investment that was made. What great interest accrued on Barnabas' account through the interest in Mark's life. Investments always produce interest.
Yeah, it's true.
You're going to get a return on your investment that you make with God. Now, you may get a young person through these places that takes what's been given here in his home church, in his life growing up, and here in the ministry, and he goes off and squanders it, lives for himself. That may happen. But we're not looking for him to give us a return.
Right.
God's going to give the return.
Amen.
And this church will receive interest on your account for all the investment that's been made over the years.
Amen.
Time and money, emotions invested. You always get those investments. But isn't it a joy when you get to hear how well they're doing? I think of John, who said this, I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. You've heard testimonies this evening of your interns walking in truth.
Amen.
Why? From an eternal investment. There's joy in seeing someone you invested in go on and do something for God. And then you get to return on your investment with the investments that they make.
Right.
You know, when we support a missionary and they do things for the Lord, as we looked at last evening, we say that's fruit added to your account. When you invest in an intern and they go on and do something for God, Hunt Valley receives a reward from that from God because that happened because of your investment. When we invest in others, God counts that in our lives because of the part that we played. Anything that the Lord does through my ministry, I'm pastoring now in Blythewood, South Carolina.
Amen.
Church, when I got there, of 15 to 17 people. We had 51 people on Easter Sunday.
Amen.
Two people have been saved and three people have been baptized. Had one join the church so far. Visitors almost weekly hearing the gospel. People excited about things that God are doing. We have a testimony service, and over and over again, the message is, God's word is impacting me like it never has before.
Amen.
Because this church found an intern that was rough around the edges. And they said, we'll make an investment in 2012 for 14 weeks into his life. And we'll bring him back. We'll let him invest in us, and we'll invest in him. And when that day comes that God says, I'm ready to send that investment out to start making some interest, that day comes, and that comes back to this church here. What's done through me comes back to the ministry here, goes to the college that I went to, the teachers and professors that worked with me, the dorm supervisor, my Christian school teachers, my youth pastor, my parents. My grandparents, these are all people that have invested.
Yeah.
Every one of those investments, every headache, every sleepless night, every tear, every time you have to tell them again because they're stubborn, is an investment. But it's not just an investment, it's an eternal investment. We can all go from being a pain to being profitable through an eternal investment. And when we see people around us, don't see pains, don't see problems. see investments.
Amen.
This church has made an investment through the intern ministry. Continue to do so. Keep making eternal investments.